Good Sunday morning and welcome to My Generation on 106.9 WCTR. I'm your host, Larry Vetter, and my guest this morning is Peter Sweetser. Peter, you are the local, organizer for the Vietnam Veterans Day celebration that we're going to have coming up this Friday, Good Friday, on March 29th. And welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, so let's get started and talk right about the day that we have in here. Vietnam Veterans Day is the official title of the event. And that's a fairly new word or lexicon as far as I'm concerned. It's something that I hadn't heard of 10, 15 years ago. So when did this evolve?
Well, the idea for it evolved about 10 years ago, as a matter of fact. And then the national holiday in perpetuity, which it is now, was signed into law about 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay.
The purpose of it, what focused it, was that next year, 2025, will be the 50th anniversary of the end of the Vietnam War period. Most people don't know how long a war it was. The first American advisors went to Vietnam in 1955. And then the last event that the Department of Defense considers part of the Vietnam War period was the Battle of the USS Mayaguez. And that was in 1975. So it was an effort by the government to recognize a bad period in American history, not just because of the polarization of the country that existed during the Vietnam War period, but also the fact that the country had a hard time differentiating between the war that they hated and the warriors who were sent to fight it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was always an issue at that time, because I remember that people blamed the warriors. In many cases, they were just kids that were drafted into a war. They not policymakers. They didn't even want to go in the first place, and they did what they thought was right. They fought for the Americans, and they thought they did what they thought was right, and then they were vilified when they came home. And I remember how often that happened, and it's probably the only war in American history where people were vilified that way.
I suspect that's true.
Yeah, especially today. I mean, at least, thankfully today, people at least honor the servicemen. And at this point, I know that even the Vietnam veterans are in that batch. You know, if you're wearing a Vietnam veteran hat, very often you see people wearing hats from Vietnam describing whatever platoon they were in. Those people are thanked for their service just like anybody else is. But that didn't happen back in the day.
It didn't happen for a long time. And fortunately, somebody in the Department of Defense or in the federal government decided that that was a wrong that had to have some effort to make it right, however long a period of time had elapsed. So they created a thing called the Vietnam War Commemoration, which is commemorating the end of the war. And during the last 10 years, they have encouraged organizations, like we have done here in Chestertown, to locate, reach out, find those Vietnam veterans, thank them for their service, and recognize the sacrifice that they and their family made. They did that in the broadest way that they could. It was intended to be inclusive, not exclusive. So the period where people are particularly recognized, that is veterans recognized, is those who served in uniform from that period, 1955 to 1975, anywhere in the world if you were in uniform, because you didn't get a chance to choose where you'd be sent. And the idea was to make sure that all veterans, many of whom were treated just as badly as those returning from Vietnam, as if they had been in Vietnam. And the government wanted to do something about that.
Yeah, no, that's true. Now, when this day started, you said it started roughly about 10 years ago. It was signed into law, I guess, about 5 years ago.
5 years ago.
Okay. And then when did the actual ceremony start here locally in Kent County?
Well, about 4 years ago, I was invited to one of these ceremonies where they recognized Vietnam veterans, and was recognized myself. And I came back from that, which happened to be in Boston, and wondered to myself, why aren't we doing this in Chestertown? Mm-hmm. And so I went and met with Bill Ingersoll, then the town manager, who in turn was a Vietnam period veteran himself. He was in the Coast Guard. He, by the way, told me that when they did their weekend duty and had to have their hair cut, they would wear a wig after that, because it didn't matter what you might or might not have ever done. If you had short hair and looked like you're in the military, you were susceptible to being treated badly. And then I went to the mayor, David Foster, who again turns out that he was a Vietnam veteran of the period. He never went to Vietnam. And they both supported the idea. So I received a permit personally to have this event in Memorial Park in Chestertown, where we will have it again this year, as you mentioned. And that was in 2022. I'll tell you something about that event, because Bill had warned me that we didn't usually get many veterans to come to Veterans Day events. This is a small town. He knew that I was from the New York area. He said, this won't be a big deal. It wasn't important to me to be a big deal. It was only important that we recognized anybody who did come. Well, we were set up with the help of organizations that are in Chestertown that I didn't really know about before I got involved in this. The American Legion Post here. We also have one in Betterton and in Rock Hall. The Daughters of the American Revolution has a chapter here in Kent County. The GAR, the Grand Army of the Republic Post at Sumner Hall, has been an active veterans organization. So working with those people, I tried to get the word out. Veterans, please come. We thought 25 people would come that I think it was a Thursday evening. It was a cold day, frankly, in the low 40s. We thought we'd have 25 people. There were 50 chairs delivered to us by the American Legion. We had a discussion as to whether to put all 50 out. Because you'd never like to have a place that's half empty.
Right. It looks like nobody bothered.
Nobody bothered.
Oh.
340 people showed up.
Wow. Wow.
Filled the street.
That's great. That's actually
amazing. And despite the cold, it only lasted 1 hour. Not a single person left.
Wow. That's great. And now this year, the event is coming up on Friday. Was it 6 o'clock?
Six to seven o'clock.
Okay.
In the evening.
And you've lined up a couple of speakers, right?
Well, the first year, we had a couple of speakers. Last year, we, for the same event, where we had, by the way, over 250 people showed up, we had veterans speak. Two veterans. This year, we have a single speaker, a guy named Larry Wilkerson, who is a Vietnam veteran, in-country, Army veteran, and he was the chief of staff to General Colin Powell for a long time in various positions that General Powell had, and he'll be our keynote speaker this year.
Oh, great. All right, that should be good. And he's not a local person, is he?
No, he's not. They're from the D.C. area.
The D.C. area, okay. And it's scheduled to last about an hour, and you'll have pretty much the same setup. You'll have the road blocked off, and you have that area down there for that hour.
That's correct. We will have the Pledge of Allegiance, which, as it was last year, will be led by a fraternity from the college, Kappa Sigma, which is a national fraternity that I discovered in the last couple of years has a national mission to support veterans. And so they will lead the Pledge of Allegiance. We will have a presentation of our colors, the American flag, which will be executed by a squad of Marines from the Marine Barracks in Washington, D.C. They're the group that provide color guards and other ceremonial Marines for the President's events.
All right. And then the attendees, anybody that is a veteran of that period, are they recognized in any special way?
They are.
They were. Okay.
Remembering that the people that should come are not just Vietnam country veterans. You didn't have to be in country or offshore or any of that. If you were in uniform from 1955 to 75, anywhere in the world, in the uniform of the United States military, you will be invited at the center point and the focal point of this event to step forward, be recognized, and receive a lapel pin that was designed and created by the Department of Defense and provided to all of us who are partners in this event to pin on those veterans. In addition to the veterans, those veterans themselves, if some of those veterans had died since the war and their spouse is still alive, then we invite the spouse to come forward and receive a separate distinctive pin identifying them as a spouse of a veteran who otherwise would have been invited to come step forward.
All right. That sounds great. We're going to take a short break right now. If you're listening to My Generation on 106.9 WCTR, we'll be right back.
We understand that a serious illness diagnosis affects all aspects of life for both the patient and the caregiver. Our comprehensive team approach to you
Thank you.
to My Generation on 106.9 WCTR. I'm your host, Larry Vedder. My guest this morning is Peter Sweetser, and you are the, the organizer of the Vietnam Veterans Day celebration that's happening this week. And we talked a little bit about it in the beginning of the show, and we'll mention it again toward the end of the show. But I wanted to talk a little bit about, we're talking about a significant period in the American history. We're talking about a 20-year period in there. I think that a lot of people that even lived through it at that time didn't realize the extent of the time that it was happening. And I think a lot of people today don't realize that it went on for a very long time. As you mentioned before, it started in 55 with advisors going in there. I always thought it was very interesting because they always blamed President Richard Nixon. They call it Nixon's War, although he was nowhere near it at the time. Well, I guess he was a vice president during 1955 at that point. But as far as policies or sending advisors over, that was really well beyond his purview. He didn't do any of that. So we were involved, right pretty much almost after the Korean War. And it seemed like after we went from World War II, which was horrific, and then we went right into the Korean War in 51, which was no bed of roses either. And fortunately, that was fairly short. And then we went right into Vietnam again. And I often wondered why we even got involved so quickly. It seemed like the French were thrown out, and we decided to fill that void so quickly. And it struck me as an odd choice to do, but nevertheless, that's what they did. And that went on for a very, very long period of time. And I always think of 1975. I know that was the last battle that happened at that point, but I also remember that 1975 was the year that ill-fated picture, that final helicopter flying off of the embassy building in Saigon. And to many people, that also symbolized the end of that era as well, too. And there were a lot of things that went on in the meantime. And I'd like to talk a little bit about, I never quite understood why the soldiers were vilified. Because the soldiers were very often, they either volunteered trying to do the right thing for the United States, or in many, many cases at the time, the draft was still around. So the vast majority of the soldiers that went to Vietnam were drafted. They didn't volunteer. Half of them, in fact, probably the majority of them, didn't want to go in the first place. But they followed the law. They did what they were supposed to do, and they did go. And then they were vilified coming back. And you had mentioned before that some of the Coast Guard guys would wear wigs. I've heard this before already, where soldiers coming back into the United States from at that time would often change into street clothes on the plane and put on wigs just to hide the fact that they were soldiers at that point. But how did you feel when you came back? And when I know you weren't in Vietnam, but you were nevertheless a soldier, and eventually you did come back, yep, back from somewhere, back to your home again.
Well, I'm a Marine. I went in 1966. I was in college at the time, but wasn't doing well. And the draft was in full effort at that point. And I decided that if I was going to go to Vietnam, I would become a Marine. I joined the Marine Reserves in 1966. And after I got out of boot camp, I chose to be a helicopter crew chief. And I went to extended schools for that. And then after that, I, of course, went on monthly training weekends where I flew in helicopters and maintained them, and all of the requirements of maintaining the skills as a helicopter crew chief. I will say that as I read into the late 60s and even into the early 70s, the number of helicopter accidents by gunfire and other methods, and the deaths of crews, I fully expected to get called up. Every month that I went to my training, I expected them to say to us, you're going to be getting orders. And that lasted for pretty much close to the full 6 years that I was in. Fortunately for me, as it turned out, I didn't get sent. But during that period, 500,000 Marines were sent over there because it really was in full effort, and the numbers were as large as they ever got in that period from, call it, 1965 to 1970 and early 70s. the effort that the country was making to win the war with more and more people, and so many that were actually coming back in body bags, clearly polarized the country. Why our citizens did not understand the difference between the war and the warrior, I don't know. Yeah. I did feel when, because as Marines, we had to keep our hair high and tight, as we used to call it, and I went every month. So there were people that shunned me. I had some things said to me from time to time, but not like many of those guys, because when they were coming back through the airports, particularly out on the West Coast, it was clear that those people were coming back from Vietnam. It wasn't limited to them, but that was really the focal point. And as you said, there were people who would spit at them, and not big grown men who may not have appreciated the war, but there are videos of mothers pushing baby carriages and calling them baby killers and spitting at them and treating them badly in ways that was so inappropriate that, as you say, it's hard to imagine, but nevertheless, it went on.
Yeah, I often wonder. I know that during World War II, anybody that came back received ticker tape parades down the middle of Broadway in New York. And it was pretty close to the same with even the Korean veterans that came back. And then something along the way changed. And I often thought that, I thought the Vietnam War period was the first time that the war was actually brought to you nightly on your television set. World War II was a little bit different. You had newsreels. You did have some news on some TV, but very, very few people had televisions at that point yet. Most of their news they got through the radio. They didn't get to see it. But the Vietnam War period, they were filming what was going on a daily basis. And there's nothing glamorous and there's nothing beautiful about war. It's horrible. And if you're having this brought into your living room on a nightly basis, I often wonder if that's what really affected people so much, when everybody began to realize that, whoa, there's nothing really glamorous about this. This is horrible.
Well, I think you're right, Larry. Add to the fact that they were exposed to so much of it. But in addition, as you said, you had World War II, and then followed fairly closely by Korea, and then very closely by the involvement. I think Americans were war weary. They were tired of it. And as you said, they were getting to see it in a way that they had never seen before. And it was dirty and nasty. And unfortunately, unlike World War II, there wasn't any clearly identified, properly explained reason why we were going there to begin with. To stop communism from spreading at a place that was so far away, most Americans probably couldn't even have found it on the map if you'd given them 15 minutes to do it. So I suspect all those things led to the reaction. Nevertheless, the reaction as it impacted those who did serve during that period was severe. There are many, many, many Vietnam veterans who still won't talk about it. There are many of them that are actually angry, and I have met some of those people myself. And as I said to someone recently, just imagine what your life would be like if you were angry about something, anything, for 50 years. Yeah. It has to change the way you handle yourself and your life develops. And that's the very sad thing that this national holiday and these ceremonies held all over the country. In fact, almost 4 million veterans of that period have had their hands shaken, have been thanked, and presented with this pin over the last 10 years.
No, that's well overdue, and I'm glad that it's happening right now, because these veterans of that era should be thanked. They did nothing wrong. In most cases, they were just drafted. And I guess in today's world, where we no longer have a draft and we have the all-volunteer army today, a lot of people just don't realize the impact a draft had on somebody's life at that point. It was arbitrary. You never knew when you were going to be drafted. You had a period in there, we were 18 to 21, where it was likely going to happen in there. It didn't matter in most cases what you were doing with the rest of your life. Initially, I remember when the war first started, there were exemptions for people that were going to college. There were exemptions for people that were married and had kids. But it eventually got to the point where there were no exemptions anymore. And it was just really the luck of the draw, whether you were called or whether you were not called. And I guess in one way, you were one of the fortunate ones in that you were able to choose to be a helicopter mechanic. After a while, people didn't get to choose anything. Maybe you made your choice, but they would send you wherever they needed you.
No question about that.
Yeah, and then you never know where that was going to be. And it could have been in the heat of battle, or it could have been, you know, behind in the supply chain somewhere along the way. It could be anything in there. So it was very difficult, and it was very difficult for the people that did go. There were very serious repercussions. A lot of young boys died in there. We lost, 54,000 people altogether. And I don't even know what the numbers are, the amount of people that came back significantly injured. I had a close friend that when we graduated in June, by July he was in boot camp. By October, he was back missing a leg. And that was not uncommon at that time. It would happen to a lot of different people. And it was difficult. It was very difficult. And he was one of the poor guys that came back and then was vilified on top of it after going through what he didn't want to go through. Right. And then he had to be vilified for it as well, too. All right, we're going to take a short break again. First, I'd like to thank my sponsors, Heron Point, Chester River Pharmacy, Compass Regional Hospice, Prince Limousine, and Vietnam Veterans Day from March 29th. You're listening to My Generation on 106.9 WCTR. We'll be right back.
When it comes to disease prevention, immunizations are key. Getting vaccinated protects you and those around you. Chester River Pharmacy offers a wide range of vaccinations, including flu vaccines, measles vaccine, shingles vaccine, and COVID-19 vaccines. Our highly qualified staff can administer vaccines right here in the pharmacy. We offer convenient hours so you can easily keep up to date on your immunizations. Call us today at 410-810-3600 and schedule your appointment today.
At Compass Regional Hospice, we understand that a serious illness diagnosis affects all aspects of life for both the patient and the caregiver. Our comprehensive treatment approach to any caregiver adds the support you need to maintain your highest quality of life.
Chestertown, living Riverside isn't the most alluring aspect of your retirement lifestyle. It's the security you get with Axe Life Care. Having the retirement you always planned for. Take off for new adventures, meet fascinating residents, and find out how much easier, more enjoyable, and more secure life can be. Your long-term care is prearranged and guaranteed. Your nest egg is protected. Discover retirement living at Heron Point. Call us to learn more, 877-380-1360, or visit axeheronpoint.org. March 29th is Vietnam War Veterans Day. A decade ago, Congress authorized the creation of the United States of America. Thank you.
sunshine for today with a high 50 to 55. So you're cold tonight, 35. More sunshine tomorrow in the 50s and 7 cloudiness on Tuesday with a high 55. Rain redevelops midweek Wednesday with a high 55 near 60. From the Maryland Weather Center, this is meteorologist Jeff Chapman.
To My Generation on 106.9 WCTR. I'm your host, Larry Vedder. My guest this morning is Peter Sweetser, the organizer of Vietnam Veterans Day, which is coming up this Friday, March 29th. Peter, we talked a little bit about the event in the first section. We talked a little bit about just some general information about Vietnam, some of our opinions and some of our thoughts that we had about it. And I did want to talk about a couple of more things in there and go a little bit more into depth about some of the issues. One of the things that I've always thought about is something called Gold Star families. And I know that when you have someone in your family in the service, especially foreign service at the time in wartime, you would have typically a star in the window.
A blue star,
right. And then gold star is unfortunately not necessarily a good thing for the family to have. I mean, it means that someone was lost, killed in action at that time. So how did that system come about?
Well, I believe that it started in World War I. And continued into World War II for sure, and people whose sons mostly, of course, but there were nurses and others that were sent over. They would hang a banner with a blue star in their window, and that was part of the opposite of the way that we treated our veterans then than we did during the Vietnam War period, because it was an opportunity for people to be proud of the fact that their sons and daughters were serving their country. Unfortunately, of course, in war, people die. Mm-hmm. And the star was turned to a gold star. In Kent County, we have 5 gold star families from the Vietnam War. And that means that their names are known by the Department of Defense, and their names are engraved in the Vietnam War Memorial in Washington, D.C. And every year since we've had this will be our third year, only our third, we've always recognized those Gold Star families. We have pictures from their families that of those 5 men, they were all men. And we call out their names, and we invite their family members to step forward if they are present and be recognized on behalf of their loved one who died. And they receive a specific pin that represents their Gold Star status. Obviously, a pin isn't going to make any difference to the loss that they've had, but it's an attempt by the government and our country to let them know that they'll never be forgotten. And we do it every time, and we'll continue to do it this year.
I think that's important. As you said, it's not bringing anybody back, but it does acknowledge the fact that we recognize the sacrifice. And I think that's important because it's something they feel on a daily basis. Maybe we only feel it once a year when we recognize that person that day, but they're constantly living with this, and it doesn't go away. It stays with you forever, and it's very, very difficult. Now, I know we had some of the Gold Star families that you mentioned were 5 altogether from this area. Were there any missing in action from this area?
Actually, there are not, according to the Department of Defense. The first year, we had a representative from the families of missing in action POW organization, and a woman who actually had a son that had gone down as a pilot and was missing in action until about 5 years ago. Oh. So imagine, for the better part of, let's call it, 35 years, she had worked and been involved in that organization, and then only recently they found evidence of her son. It was a fishing boat that snagged on his plane, and they were able to identify enough remains to be able to identify them. But there are no, according to that organization, there are no MIA POW people. But nevertheless, as is done in many, if not most, ceremonies of this type about our veterans or active duty, we will have what's called a missing man table ceremony at this event this year. And it is a very formal process. It is it has a table that has been set with items that all represent some element of our wishes that these missing people were still with us. And there again, the Kappa Sigma fraternity, the young men there are going to perform that ceremony for us as one of the elements of our event on Friday.
Okay. Yeah. Do you know if any of, I was wondering if you knew of any people from the region that were POWs at all at that point, but I would imagine not.
I don't know of any. I've never heard of any being, but I can't say that there weren't.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. And when you think about it, with the amount of people that we have living in this area, which is pretty low, especially you're used to the New York area as well as I am, where the population is significantly higher, five killed in action in that war is a lot for this area. It seems like a pretty high number.
Well, one of the things that this program, the Vietnam War Commemoration, again, that's the organization that's under the Department of Defense. They sponsor all of these events. They send all the materials to us for free, and they guide us in how we do these things. Now, at this juncture, we know. But when they started... When they started this process, they immediately realized, I believe, I'm told actually, that they weren't going to reach the 6 million Vietnam period veteran group that is believed still to be alive by going to New York City or Chicago or San Francisco. They were going to have to reach out into the heart of our countries, into the small towns. And this is actually the effort in their materials. They call it town-centric, not city-centric. And so what we're doing is typical all over the country. And you're right, depending upon the size of the area, it isn't going to be a great many people in any small area, but we take in, there have been 36,000 events like this held over the last 10 years, at which almost 4 million people have been recognized. So we're pretty close, within a couple of million people, to identifying and reaching those. And one of the reasons why this year we decided to, I decided to try to advertise and promote this, which is why I'm grateful for the opportunity to be on your show, is that we needed to find the people who didn't step out that first year or the second year and encourage them to come.
Yeah, to do so. Yeah, that would be great. Now, does your organization that you're working with now, do you get involved with some of the other organizations that have worked with Vietnam veterans? For example, the veterans that were exposed to Agent Orange. I know that that's been a pretty large advocacy that's been going on for a long time. I actually lost a brother-in-law 20 years ago to a variety of cancers that he developed, and he always... They always linked it to Agent Orange. They always believed that he was one of the ones. He said that he'd wake up in the morning, get out of his tent, and everything would be covered with the spray from the night before that they were spraying down. And nobody thought that anything of it, dumping it all over the soldiers at that point. And there was an impact for that. Did your organization get involved with them?
Well, to be clear, I actually don't have an organization.
Okay.
But I have been honored to be able to lead and be a principal organizer, if you would, to groups that I previously mentioned, the American Legion Post and the DAR and Sumner Hall and lots of other people who who have volunteered to support us in any way they can. I suspect that the American Legion post, of, as I say, we have three here in Kent County. There's one in Chestertown, in Centerville, in Queen Anne's County, and they've all been involved in this. There are a lot of Vietnam veterans involved here that have spent their time, energy, and even money in trying to support those kinds of things. We're focused primarily on this particular group of people, the Vietnam veterans who may be in Kent or in the surrounding counties.
Yeah. Well, I think it's great that they're being recognized finally. I'm grateful for the fact that that type of vilification and negative attitude towards soldiers seems to be in the past at this point. It's good that at least they're getting some recognition, and although I know it's for some people it's too little too late. But at least soldiers today, anybody in the military today, are treated vastly different. And I'm grateful for that at this point. And I do have family in the military now as we speak. And I'm grateful that they're honored and not looked at as some sort of a criminal that's out there. All right. We're going to take another short break again. You're listening to My Generation on 106.9 WCTR. We'll be right back.
March 29th is Vietnam War Veterans Day. A decade ago, Congress authorized the creation of the United States of America, Vietnam. To thank and honor Vietnam veterans and their families for their service and sacrifice, veterans to be recognized among those who served in uniform or as military anywhere in the world from 1955 to 1975. These ceremonies honor veterans being given to their family for their service and sacrifice and presented with a special note that all surviving family members and veterans from the
Chestertown. Living Riverside isn't the most alluring aspect of your retirement lifestyle. It's the security you get with Axe Life Care. Having the retirement you always planned for. Take off for new adventures, meet fascinating residents, and find out how much easier, more enjoyable, and more secure life can be. Your long-term care is prearranged and guaranteed. Your nest egg is protected. Discover retirement living at Heron Point. Call us to learn more, 877-380-1360, or visit axeheronpoint.org.
Clean is the area's premier service for all your transportation needs. Since 1994, they've provided prompt and professional service for all your livelihoods. Provide transportation for weddings, bachelor and bachelorette parties, birthdays, company events, event shuttle service, and airport and terminal transportation. You just plan your event, driving your friends to visit, booking and operating. Call them at 410-778-4860 or visit goodsmb.com.
Thank you.
back to My Generation on 106.9 WCTR. I'm your host, Larry Vedder. My guest this morning is Peter Sweetser. Peter is the organizer of the Vietnam Veterans Day that's going to be located in Chestertown at the Memorial Park this Friday at 6 o'clock. And I know that you have a guest speaker that day, and I know that one of the things you're trying to do is to encourage all the veterans of that era to come out. Is there any way of actually knowing if they're all coming out? As there's no inventory of who's who, is there?
No, there really isn't. And it's always been a challenge with a simple question of how many should we expect to be there? And the answer is, as I said to you earlier, we didn't have any kind of a clue, obviously. But what we're trying to do now is through advertisements in our papers and on your show and others like it, is to get the word out to veterans. And let me be clear about this. The people we would like to support is generally all veterans. Mm. All veterans. But in particular, because of the way they were treated, and because there is a specific program for this purpose, the Vietnam War Veterans Commemoration, we're hoping that veterans who served from 1955 to 1975, anywhere in the world, you don't have to have gone to Vietnam or to have served offshore Vietnam in the Navy or flown over it in the Air Force, but if you were in the service, we'd ask if you've been in that position, please come to Chestertown this Friday at 6 p.m. and give us the opportunity, us, your community, the opportunity to thank you for your service and to have you come forward. It is all very respectful, and it is also, to a certain extent, very private, because you don't have to register before you come. We don't call people up by name. Mm. We just ask veterans to step forward. If you have not received a pin before, please step forward and allow someone to thank you on behalf of a grateful nation and present you with this pin. And then you simply walk away back to the other group of veterans who have joined you in this celebration, including, of course, as I said earlier, the wives of veterans who have died since the war, who are therefore not able to come themselves. We're also going to, as I said, include the families of Gold Star families. And we're in general going to thank all veterans for their service, because the one thing that I know is that the people that serve our country, for the most part, are willing and happy to do it because it's part of living in the land that we love and maintaining the freedoms that we that are precious to us. All they ask in return is for respect and to be acknowledged when it's appropriate to do that. And that's what we hope to be able to do this Friday to many more of the veterans than the ones that have already come forward so far.
Now, do you get a fair amount of spectators, non-military people that have just come to view what's going on, and do you encourage that?
We absolutely encourage that, and as a matter of fact, excuse me, earlier I mentioned that that the first year when we thought we would have 25 or so people, we ended up with 340. We gave out 93 pins. So we had 3-1 spectators to veterans. And in last year, we had about 250 total, of which 44 of them were veterans. So the answer is, and I think it's a wonderful thing, that there are people who didn't necessarily serve, but either with the age of knowing what was going to happen and wanted to come and support and recognize these people. I'll tell you one last thing, Larry, and that is that from direct experience talking to a couple of veterans that I knew of the first year I tried to or did organize this event, and I called them up and I said, I'm going to do this and I hope you'll come. And I spoke to a number of people, but I had two people tell me that they weren't going to come because they had no interest in having any more false statements of thanks or receive some other pin of a hollow, from a hollow point of gratitude. You could tell that this was not an old feeling for them, that was a recent feeling for them. Well, I know at least one of them came, did not step forward the first year, but stayed in the background. And the second year came forward and told me afterwards that he was really glad that he did. So I think that as horrific as the war was, both in country and for those people even who didn't serve in combat, nevertheless, it can be changed. There is an opportunity to open up a little bit and realize that your country feels badly about that and wants to make up, however late in time it comes.
Yeah, and I agree with what you just said. That makes a lot of sense, that people feel badly about the way the Vietnam era veterans were treated. I think even the people that treated people badly at that point probably feel a little bit poor about that at this point, too. And I get the fact that you can carry that bitterness a long time, because it's a life-changing event for people that were in the war, and to be vilified from it after that just magnified the life-changing event that you had to go through, and usually life-changing wasn't a good one. So the fact that they're recognized today, it's almost an apology to a certain extent for the way they were treated at that point. And I think people are sincere today when they say they're thanking a veteran. I don't think that there are any hollow thanks anymore. I think, thankfully, that age is gone, hopefully never to be repeated again. And I think that people are pretty sincere when they thank somebody today for their service, and I hope that that message gets across to the Vietnam veteran era people that were felt bad about it, who were mistreated over everything like that. And then I hope that we do get a fair amount of spectators again this year. And let's hope that the weather cooperates too, because I'm sure that has an impact on the amount of people that show up.
Well, it was cold the first year. We haven't had any rain. And I like to think that God particularly has a place in his heart for veterans, and so will give us another nice evening for us to be able to celebrate. But there is no food. There are no drinks. It is a very focused and respectful ceremony, and I'm looking forward to having as many people from our community come and join us.
And you're planning on doing this every year from now on?
We are.
Okay. Now, the people that get the pins each year, do they get repeat pins, or is it they get one pin, basically?
They should get one pin.
Okay.
Because there's a limit to how many pins that there are.
Right.
But everybody gets a pin, and if they had received a pin and come, please wear your pin and show the other veterans there that you are a supporter of the idea of reconciling after all of these years.
So I guess that if you have a bunch of people that show up with pins on their lapels and don't come up to get another pin, that's probably a good thing.
That is a good thing.
That means that you've covered as many people as you can possibly cover at that point, which is really the point of everything, is to really thank everybody.
It is indeed.
Who were involved at that point. All right. Once again, before we end the show, when is it? Where is it?
It's this Friday. Good Friday, March 29th, which is National Vietnam War Veterans Day, and it's at 6 p.m. in Chestertown at the Memorial Park, which is just to the east, to the riverside of Fountain Park in the center of town, and there'll be people there. It's right next to Emmanuel Church, and there is a monument there for Vietnam veterans, and we'll be standing right there with a group of people who have been before and supporters.
It should be very easy to find. And is there I don't know, I'm shooting in the dark here. Is there a Facebook page or a website or anything for this, or is this is just really word of mouth at this point?
Well, it's more than word of mouth because there is an official organization called Partner. In the organization, you have commemorative partners, and the town of Chestertown is a partner, and this will be on their website, and the American Legions are partners, and the DAR and the Sumner Hall, and all of those people are putting it on their websites.
All right, Peter, thank you so much for being my guest this morning. I hope everybody that's listening right now will be able to attend this week. I'd also like to thank my sponsors, Heron Point, Chester River Pharmacy, Compass Regional Hospice, Prince Limousine, and Vietnam Veterans Day of March 29th. This is 106.9 WCTR, and if it's Sunday morning, you've been listening to My Generation.